Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Oh, when I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. And then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? When I'm reminded of these words, I'll leave you never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done, died to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're all won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? And to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I?
Okay, it's really good to be with these folks today, Pam. And just before we really get started in the, whatever we're going to be doing today, we're studying about gifting and gifts and callings and giftings. I'd like to invite you, if you don't have a home church or if you want to visit a church, come and visit the Family Worship Center in Newark, Texas. It's right on the main farm road going right through Newark. It's on the right-hand side, right past the main red light. It's just about a half a mile on your right. You won't miss it. Come out, and it starts at 10 o'clock, and you're going to enjoy the ministry of the pastor, James Lampin. So come and be blessed of God. Okay, Pam?
Amen. And, you know, Ray, I really enjoyed that song that you sang, and I wanted to let the people know that if they're wanting to hear you sing more, that they can go to our website, and there are some of the songs available there.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, anyway, yes. We'll talk a little about that later on when we have our announcer come and give the announcements at the end. You know, we have a lot of exciting things planned for 2012, Ray, and we're hoping to have seminars so that you can come and meet us. Come and see if we really look like we sound. And we are really excited about it. And our call is God has big plans for you, and that every person has a gifting. Right, Ray?
You better believe it. Amen.
And, you know, so what are we preparing for?
Well, Pam, hey, we're preparing for meetings in the near future.
Amen.
I want to encourage you people, listen to Ray and Pam Jackson, to keep visiting our website for dates and locations. I'm excited about what we're teaching about now. We're on gifts and giftings. We ended last week talking about the fact that when God created us, He put gifts and gifting in each one of us. No one was left out.
You know, Ray, that's good news. I like the saying that you ended with last week. That was, what we are is God's gift to us, and what we make of our life is our gift to God.
Amen.
You know, and we were talking about the question many people ask, and that is, if I have a gift, why haven't I known it? And that's a fair question. And the best way to measure whether or not that you are operating in the sphere of your motivational gift is by this simple test. J-O-Y.
There you go. Joy.
Joy.
Come on.
Or Jesus first, others second, you third. You know, joy is the byproduct of operating in your motivational gift. And frustration is the byproduct of trying to operate outside of it. Joy always is a byproduct of doing what is in the will of God for you. And Raymond, you know, joy can never be sought as a goal or an end in itself. But as you function
Amen.
In the giftedness that God has given you, you will have joy.
Well, you know what, Pam? Also remember some of the reasons why you may not know your motivational gift or gifts are.
What okay. are they?
All right. Number one, you may have never been taught about that's gifts and giftings.
That's true.
And number two, you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Number three, you're not being fed spiritually.
Right.
Number four, you have had confusing teaching on motivational gifts.
And you know, Ray, there are also some obstacles that can block the flow of the motivational gifts. The first one is you may have bondages that hinder the flow of your gifts. Number two, and this is a big one, anger can block the flow of your gift. Number three, if you have been trying to be someone else other than yourself, that too prevents the natural expression of your motivational gift. A poor self-image can hinder the operation of your motivational gift. Listen to this, right? Irresponsibility can impede the flow of your motivational gift. And the biggie is sin can block or distort the working of your gifts.
That's right, Pam. But you know, the most important thing to remember is that, folks, listen, the Holy Spirit empowers the gifts.
You're right, Ray. This week, we are going to start looking at each gift. I want to encourage our listeners to check out our website for outlines and notes on this series. You'll find a worksheet for each motivational gift, and that will help you to discover what is your primary motivational gift. There will be instructions on how to use the worksheet there also. So what is the first gift we're going to look at, Ray?
Well, first, I want to share the list of motivational gifts and the needs they tend to meet, okay? Now, we're going to talk first here about perceiver. Here's what the definition is. It declares the will of God. But the needs met by being a perceiver is spiritual. What it does, perceiver, keeps us centered on spiritual principles.
That's good.
Okay?
Then when we look at the giver, the definition is it renders practical service. So it meets practical needs, and it keeps the work of the ministry moving.
Amen. Amen. All right. Teacher. Okay. Teacher. Researches and teaches the Bible. Okay. A good teacher now that's got the gifting of teaching, they're going to be a big researcher. Okay. Needs met is generally mental. And then what teaching does, it keeps us studying and learning. If you're going to be, if you got gift of teaching, you're going to want to keep on studying, keep on learning.
And that's right, Ray. And then the exhorter is the encourager of personal progress. And that meets psychological needs. Yeah, God knows that we're psychological beings. And it keeps us applying spiritual truths.
Amen. If you're going to be the giver gifting, it shares the material assistance. And then the needs met is the material. And what it does, it keeps specific needs provided for.
Amen. You know, right, everybody that's ever been in business or in ministry knows that we need the administrator.
Got to have administrator.
And they're the ones that gives leadership and directions. And so they're functional. And what do? They keep us organized and increases our vision.
Okay, and the last one is compassion person. And what the definition for being a compassion person is, it provides personal and emotional support. The needs met are emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it keeps us in right attitudes and relationships.
Amen. And you know, Ray, that's just a bird's eye view of the motivational gifts and their function. And we're going to get into more detail on each one of these as we go. One other area we need to cover before we start with the individual gifts, and that is how each gift is placed in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So let's go to the Bible and read Romans 12, 3 and 4, and I'm going to read from the Amplified. For by the grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. So what we see here is that the body represents completeness, a whole, a totality. But a totality is made up of different parts.
So, Pam, it is with the body of Christ. We are not all the same, but we have different functions. We are gifted in different ways. Pam, listen. Just as a physical body needs the hands and needs the feet, the eyes, the ears, so it can function properly, the body of Christ needs those with different gifts to enable to function properly.
That's right.
See, we're to help unity through diversity.
You're right, Ray. And it's nice to know that we don't all have to behave just alike, that it's okay to be different.
Amen.
Another thing is we don't have to do it ourselves.
We don't have to do it ourselves?
No. We do our part and others do their part. Together, we get the job done.
Okay.
Together, we do the work of the ministry of our Lord.
And the third thing in that scripture Paul emphasized was our mutual dependence in the body of Christ. That's right. I said dependence. Pam, you know we really do need each other.
That's right.
No member of Christ's body can go off on a desert island and be a victorious Christian.
Amen. And, you know, God purposely, notice, Ray, I said purposely, made us so that we are incomplete without the interaction and ministry of
Amen.
Our brothers and sisters.
The body.
And, you know, Ray, I want to be like David Duplessis, who had a saying that went like this. Whenever I meet someone, anyone, I always ask myself, what can I impart to benefit this person, and what can he or she impart to benefit me?
Wow, Pam, that's good. We impart, wow, but we also, what, receive.
That's right.
Okay, let's look and see how the gifts correspond to the parts of the physical body. Perceiver, number one. This is the eye of the body. Matthew 13 and 16, Amplified Bible. But blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are your eyes because they do see.
Amen.
Matthew 6, 22 and 23, Revised Version says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The perceiver has the special responsibility of having a clear and a sound eye which has to detect God's truth. If this person becomes polluted by sin, then his sight or her sight's going to get cloudy.
That's right. And the rest of the body counts on the perceiver. If he's not walking in purity of life, then his vision is impaired. And what he thinks is truth may in fact be error, right?
Amen.
And it can lead many, many people astray. Well, the second gift is the server, and this is the hands of the body.
The hands of the body.
In Proverbs 31 and 20,
Amen.
It reads, she opens her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her filled hands to the needy,
Jesus.
Whether in body, mind, or spirit. As we study the gifts, we will notice that all the gifts, the server is the most capable with their hands.
Amen. They have great what? Dexterity. They seem to be able to fix or build just about anything. Amen. I'm helping her out a little bit here. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it refers to this as the gift of helps. These are the people who are helpful anytime, anywhere, especially if it's hands-on. And
Amen.
You know the third gift, Pam, is the teacher is the mind of the body. Acts 17 and 11, Amplified Bible says, now these were better disposed and more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message. It concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, with inclination of mind and eagerness, searching and examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Teachers have an exceptional gift of intelligence.
I'm so glad you consider me a teacher,
yes,
Bay.
You have great intelligence. They're always asking questions. There are the ones who want to know the basis of everything. They want to know everything.
That's right.
They're going to search. They're going to make sure the facts are true in the scripture, just as we read. Paul recommended that the Bereans, Jews, because they search the scriptures of what we now call the Old Testament, to be sure that their acceptance of the good news was verifiable. And it was.
That's right. It was verifiable. Very, very
Amen.
True. And you know, Raymond, the fourth gift is one of your giftings.
Amen.
And that is the gift of exhorter.
Tell them what it is.
And this is the mouth,
the big mouth.
Of the
Amen.
Body. Amen.
Sometimes I have a big mouth.
Amen. And you know, in Acts 13 and 15, it says, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the leaders of the worship of the synagogue sent to them, saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation or consultation or encouragement for the people, say it. So, you know, we joke, Ray and I do, about exhorters talking a lot. But to be really serious, we could say they have the best old jaws, O-I-L-E-D, old
Amen.
Jaws of all the gifts. But seriously, without the faculty of speech, how else could the exhorters exhort, console, or encourage?
Hey, good point, Pam. So let's look at the next gift, the gift of giver. Now, the giver, this is the arms of the body. Luke 1:51, Amplified Bible says, he has shown strength and made might with his arm. Isaiah 51 and 9, Amplified, Zion now cries to the Lord, the God of Israel, awake, awake, put on strength and might, O arm of the Lord. Givers have great strength spiritually. They extend the reach of the kingdom's endeavors. Remembering the story in Exodus, let's look at that. Exodus 17, 8 through 16, about Moses holding his rod up so that Israel might prevail in the battle over Amalek. What happened when his arms grew weary and he lowered them?
The Israelites began to lose.
Right. So God provided some givers, or we could say two support people. Mm-hmm. They were Aaron and they were Hur, who came alongside of Moses and held his arms up until the battle was won. So we see that givers are a strong support to those who are in spiritual battle or out on the front lines sharing the gospel.
You know, Ray, that's so good. Once again, notice giving is not just money.
There you go.
No, it's much more than that, isn't it?
Oh, you better believe it.
Right. And so the next gift, or the sixth gift, is that of the administrator. This is the shoulder of the body.
Amen.
And, you know, Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Raymond, the person with the gift of administrating is the one who shoulders the responsibilities. They carry the load of leadership.
Amen.
But the important thing here is that wise administrators know how to yoke up with Jesus so he bears the burdens.
And you know, Pam, and once again, last, number seven is compassion person. This is the heart of the body. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into realizing and showing the love of God." People with the gift of compassion are ruled by their heart rather than their heads. They show the true nature of God by showing kindness, care, and mercy to others.
Right. Let's read one more scripture. Let's read 1 Peter 4 and 11 that reads, Whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus
Amen.
Christ the Messiah. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever through endless ages. Amen. So be it. And it appears, according to this scripture, that there are two basic categories of the motivational gifts. I want to encourage you, if you have a pencil and paper handy, draw a cookie cutter figure, then draw a dotted line just below the shoulders and above the heart. Now we can see the gifts that are represented by the parts of the body above and below that line.
Hey, I see. The teacher, the mind of the body, must speak in order to teach. The perceiver, the eye of the body, must speak in order to proclaim God's will. The exhorter, the mouth of the body, obviously has to speak to exhort, console, and encourage. The administrator, the soul, the shoulders of the body, and he must be able to speak in order to lead. So what we see is that these four are the speaking gifts.
Amen. Good. And then looking at the three gifts below the dotted line, you find the compassion person,
Amen.
The heart of the body. They usually don't like to get up in front of people and speak. They prefer to work behind the scenes, serving others with an abundance of love.
Amen.
You also find the giver, the arms of the body. And there is a supportive gift. A true giver will shun the limelight and desire to serve in the background. And then we have the server, which are the hands of the body.
Amen.
And they excel in serving in whatever area is needed. And these three are the serving gifts.
Okay, Pam, what we have read in 1 Peter 4 and 11 says, we find in that reading that Paul urges those with the speaking gifts to speak as one who utters oracles of God. They are responsible for what they say, to make sure it agrees with what God desires to be said. Because after all, what we say has power. God spoke the world into existence in Genesis 1 and 3. Words have an impact on others. Psalms 141 and 3, Amplified Bible, this is how it reads. He says, set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips.
How true. And you know, Raymond, the ones who have the servant gifts receive tremendous promises in that verse.
Amen.
They are to serve with the strength which God furnishes.
Amen.
God will give them an abundance of strength and energy for the work that they are to do. If you will look, the ones with servant gifts seems to have unusual amounts of stamina or
Amen.
Energy.
Well, hey, in closing, it's important to remember, regardless of what category the people may fall into or what we fall into, we must all do what we do so that God is glorified. Amen?
And you know, Ray, we could go on and on, but our time is gone. So here's our announcer to tell you how to get in touch with us. God bless.
I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6, 24 through 26.
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. That to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I? And to an old rugged cross he would go, for who am I?